It's another day and another Kawhi Leonard rumor, but maybe, just maybe, this one could be spot on and could or could not calm down the fears of Spurs fans who think he may be exiting the team very soon. Welcome to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Jeff Garcia of News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. And in a little while, we're going to have Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast is joining us. And I'm pretty sure you've already read it by now. It was all over the internet yesterday. Multiple articles and blogs were all over it, but mainly the ESPN article via Shelbourne and Wright. It's a very illuminating article. I think that's the best way to describe what it was about. And that was about Kawhi Leonard, San Antonio Spurs, and what in the heck is going on. From beginning to end, it is a very good read. I recommend you go read it. Just go to ESPN.com, and it will be there. But in a nutshell, it's pretty much chronicling exactly how the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard and his camp have come to this juncture and why there is a possible divide between the team and Kawhi and his camp. And it all comes down to the biggest takeaway is the injury. That it was misdiagnosed, how the treatment was approached, and that seemed to maybe, just maybe, set off a domino effect to where the team and Kawhi is now. Of course, there's many other aspects of this article. It's majority of stuff is something you do not already know, but it's just pretty much putting, I guess, some polishing wax on this whole story, where we're, at the end of the day, it's still, we don't know what Kawhi Leonard's decision or the Spurs' decision is going to be about his future moving forward. So I was going to bring on Joe now. Joe, I kind of briefly ran down exactly what the article was about, but in a nutshell, it seems to me that it just goes back to that injury, that darn injury that nobody can understand right now.
Yeah, that's the it's been the year of the quadriceps tendinopathy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been that, you know, Kawhi's quad, injured quad, has taken up or taken the media by storm. You know, it's created this plethora of clickbait articles and people making their own assumptions. But, you know, what we're going to be talking about in this article from ESPN by Michael C. Wright, I think it was well done. You know, like you said, it chronicles everything. And it basically tells you, you know, point by point, you know, what happened, people involved. And it doesn't really favor one side or the other. I think it was really well done in the way that it lets you know, okay, yes, there was an injury. This is what basically happened, given the facts that are presented to us. But in the end, it just lets the audience or viewer make their own assumptions, and then they can pretty much take it from there, which I thought was really well done. You know, it didn't say, oh, this is what we think is going to happen. This just said, mm-hmm. These are the facts. Y'all come up with your own assumptions, which I think that's the right way to go. And you know, this injury has just been one of those things that, you know, you cannot just walk away from it. You know, it's the off season, and every other day it's always Kawhi this, Kawhi that. It's something that's going to be in our face until the Spurs and Kawhi sit down and hopefully make some type of, you know, come to terms, make up, and then they have an offer, and then we'll really see what's going on. But it's just something you just can't get away from. It's everywhere. It's in front of you. It's on social media. It's on the TV. It's on the radio. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere, and you cannot escape it, especially yeah. If you live in San Antonio. Look, let's go and dive into our takeaways and what we learned, if you will, from the article. So I'll let you start us off, Joe. If you had to pick one thing about the article that maybe made you feel good or feel bad about the situation, what would that be?
Well, basically, I mean, it shed some light to me as far as what happened with the agency or the agent that he had before, people who were representing him. And it lets you know a little bit more about the people who are part of Kawhi's camp and his agent, you know, Mitch Frankel, and his uncle, Dennis Robertson, and a little bit more about the involvement of Kawhi and his family. And, you know, basically it told you pretty much what everybody had been wanting to know. Who is this camp that we always hear of? Well, they gave you some names and let you know a little bit more about them from a professional standpoint. And that way you could, you know, know who's representing the Claw, Kawhi Leonard, moving forward. And I like that aspect of it because you get a better understanding of, you know, how he's being represented and who's speaking for him. And you also got, I think it was another takeaway that you can get from it is you got to see exactly more, I guess. You get to see more about what's going on with this injury. And you get to hear from, you know, both the perspective from the Spurs medical staff and also Kawhi's doctor and who's in charge of his rehabbing. So in that regard, I got to learn a little bit more about exactly who represented him, more about his injury, more about who's in charge of his rehabbing. And moving forward, you know, it just made me feel a little bit better about the Spurs' chances. Is it beyond repair, their relationship? No, I don't think it is. I think at this point, you know, I think Kawhi has a, like, he's a 50-50 chance, you know, going forward, which is better than how I felt before where I felt 60-40, you know? So after reading this, kind of felt 50-50 and feeling good about the Spurs and Kawhi and maybe, you know, when they talk, you know, they'll iron out their differences. If not, you know, well, it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, you know, when, you know, and I'm going to jump into what you just said right now before I give my take, but you said something very interesting about the agency and who's representing them and his uncle and whatnot. I think sometimes you can't mix family with business. And I think that's one of the things that I kind of frown upon right now in this situation. Look, his uncle, Dennis, is going to do whatever he can for his nephew. I get that. He's pretty much raised him ever since Kawhi's father passed away at an early age. But there's sometimes not letting him spread his wings versus letting this individual have total control of Kawhi and his future. Now, obviously, I'm not inside that camp. I'm not. But the way the articles and the reports have been portraying, his uncle seems to be very heavy-handed, very demanding. Don't forget, he and Kawhi walked away from a very generous extension from Nike to extend the Jordan brand, and his uncle felt that his nephew deserved more. And I get that. But there's some times where you need to just back off a bit. And I think that's the situation that we're facing right now. Is that seems to be, that what stood out for me was when they talked about, when the article talked about when the Spurs and Kawhi's camp kind of broke ways a bit, when they had a shift from agencies. Apparently his previous representatives had a very good relationship with the Spurs that fractured. His uncle stepped in, and now moving forward, that has been the situation. I mean, look, you know, how many times would you hear this during the regular season, Joe? Pop saying, you have to talk to Kawhi's camp. You have to talk to Kawhi's camp. I think there's some frustration there. And I think if I'm Kawhi, I sit down with my uncle and say, I thank you for everything you've done for me, but, you know, you got to back off a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think there's something else that was interesting in this article and something that I haven't talked about, but I kind of suspected, especially when they were saying that they kind of walked away from that Jordan brand deal. Now, and then you hear reports about Kawhi and, you know, he's wanting to create a brand, you know, for his persona, you know, for Kawhi Leonard. There's supposed to be some type of brand, you know, going out there, representation, professional representation. And you get to see, okay, yes, his family's going to play a vital role in moving forward and what affects Kawhi, the bottom line. And he has an agent that will talk as far as the talks that need to be made when it went in regards to a contract, you know, in regards to money. Now, the money handling side of it and the business side as far as the brand that is Kawhi Leonard, looks like that will be handled more from the family aspect. And what I gathered from that is when you put everything together, it kind of looks like Kawhi wants to be his own brand. Kawhi doesn't want to be a Nike or an Adidas or a Reebok or any other shoe brand out there. It kind of seems like he wants to follow in the steps of the Ball family and just create his own brand. I really believe that might happen. And if it does, well, the writing was on the wall when you saw that they didn't accept that extension from Nike. That was my takeaway from it.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much to digest in this story regarding the Kawhi situation that, and Joe and I could probably pretty much talk all day about this, but, you know, when I looked at this article, and my takeaway is this, is that I think, how do I word this? I think, I mean, yes, it ultimately it does come down to that extension that the Spurs could offer him later on this summer, Supermax, and he decides or not. But what I walked away from that really jumped out at me was the actual injury itself. If the Spurs are saying it's X, and if Kawhi's cap is saying it's Y, and the Spurs think that this problem, would say, yeah, at least the article describes it as they think it's degenerative, that he's always going to have this, while Kawhi's camp thinks it's something else, I'm afraid that might impact the Spurs and their offering. Do you offer Kawhi Leonard the biggest contract in franchise history? Yeah, bigger than anything Tim Duncan got, Manu Ginobili got, David Robinson got, and I get it, different eras, different times, but nonetheless, that is a very big contract. If the Spurs don't give him that amount and something less than the Supermax, based on what we saw with his uncle reacting to Nike's offer, which was generous, and they walk away from that table, I think the Spurs are in a pickle. If they truly feel that his injury is degenerative, then maybe they don't fork over that type of money to a guy who maybe will never be 100%, who's going to be sitting out of games, who can see the injury flare up at the wrong possible time, the playoffs, NBA finals maybe, if they do go back ever in their future, and he can't outplay. I think they're running a fine line right now, and that being offer him the most money we ever have in franchise history for a player who is admittedly hurt, or give him something less, maybe try to sweet talk him, maybe say contingent on this, and then burn a bridge with his uncle, maybe even Kawhi, and then they say, you know what, thanks but no thanks, we'll demand a trade. And here are the list of teams that we want. And the article did say there were a few teams on there, Knicks, Nets, Lakers, and Philly as well. So I think the Spurs are really in a bind right now, Joe, and I really think that the future of the franchise is on the stake as we speak. What are your thoughts?
I think the same thing, but I think of it this way. If I'm the boss in the Spurs front office, you know, and you have a player in Kawhi Leonard who is very good, the way I see it and the way business is done, no one person can hold a business or a corporation hostage. That's the bottom line. You know, just because Kawhi Leonard is top five, does it mean that I'm going to treat him any differently than I would any other person that I employ? That would be against HR policy. And it would actually jeopardize the relationship between the employer and the employees. At the end of the day, you have to look at it as, yes, Kawhi is great, but am I going to bend over backwards and let him call the shots in my organization and my business? I don't think so, you know? So you have
pretty much that's what he's doing now. He and his camp are calling the shots as far as his rehab. The Spurs are there in New York City just to monitor them and just to help in any way they can. But he's controlling this, Joe, and I think the Spurs don't like this at all.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing that you have to come to terms with. If you're the boss and you're in charge, unfortunately, you have to make those decisions. You know, and you have to, okay, you know what? I respect that you're working, you're injured. But everybody says you can come back to work and you're still saying you're not ready. Okay, cool. At the end of the day, you have to do what's best for the business. You know, and the NBA is just that. It is a business. So if you have this talk, you know, the Spurs sit down with Kawhi Leonard and nothing has changed, the way to handle that is you just say, at the end of the day, I appreciate all you've done for us, but apparently we have two different visions of where we want to go moving forward. And if they can't see eye to eye and they're not on the same page, it's best at that juncture to part ways as friends and make a trade. Because you can't have this type of behavior moving forward, because not only will it jeopardize the relationship between the Spurs and Kawhi, what's going to happen with the rest of your players that you have on the team? What's going to happen with the relationship the rest of the team has with the Spurs? You want to be able to keep up a certain, you know, atmosphere here. You want to keep up with what the Spurs have built, the culture that the Spurs have built. And I believe, more importantly, more than anything, Kawhi is jeopardizing that at this point in time, you know, given everything that's happened throughout the season. And no one person is above that, no matter how good they are. So you have to do what's best for the team, you know. And if Kawhi wants to be a part of it, and he still sees in what the Spurs want to build upon, and they see eye to eye and they can move forward, great. And if they can't, you're going to have to part ways. There's no way that one person can see, hey, I want to do this, and the other person says, I want to do this, and then you hope to work together to accomplish two different missions. That's not going to work out. So, you know what? People have to understand, at the end, the NBA is a business. And unfortunately, some tough decisions will have to be made, not just with Kawhi moving forward, but with other, you know, players that we have in the offseason. So, yeah, when you say the Spurs are in jeopardy and it's going to be a rough season, offseason for them, I 100% agree with you in that regards, Jeff.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the Spurs fans, again, are still and remain divided, even with this latest article via ESPN. Some feel that this is a sign of a bad thing to come, that they're going to jettison him and get a trade going. There's some that say, okay, well, there's some good point to hang on to, which is how the report stated that Kawhi wanted to come back for the Spurs in the Warriors series. But when Pop decided not to, because of the death of his wife, Kawhi said, okay, fine, I'll stay here. So I like the fact that, you know, there's that type of special bond between Pop and Kawhi, solid. But you got people in his ear, his uncle, maybe other people in his camp. Who knows? You know, there's other rumors out there, you know, talking about how, you know, he may be seeking a larger market, that he doesn't like the approach of Popovich's at practices, et cetera, et cetera. It's come to the point now, Joe, and I still believe this, and it's not a cop-out. I think it's still 50-50, and I think, oh, my God, I think any little, if they don't cross their T's and dot their I's on either end, because the Spurs are just as frustrated with it, then I can definitely see Buford, who was reportedly not having sleep over this issue, say, all right, bye. We'll try to get you the best deal. It's not going to work out. Or vice versa. Kawhi and his camp say, you know what? Yeah, this ain't going to work out. I think it's just so dicey right now.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you in that regard too. But, you know, as a Spurs fan and also as somebody who follows the NBA and has a great, you know, love for the game itself, it's a business, like I keep saying, you know. And at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for business, you know, and sometimes that makes, you know, that means making these hard decisions. So I'm hoping, you know, I have hope, a lot of hope, that they can work out some type of an agreement, some type of deal, and both parties can see eye to eye, you know, and they can move forward, and we'll, you know, be looking forward to having Kawhi on board. Everybody's happy. Team can move forward, you know, and possibly make some deep runs in the playoffs and go and get out, you know, make a run for a championship out, you know, again, probably within the next year or so. So that's great. Yeah. But if not, we're going to be in rebuild mode. And you know that, Jeff, it sooner or later, it's coming, you know, and the signs are there. So it's shaky ground, man. That's all I can say.
Yeah. All right. Take us home, Joe. What are the final takeaway from the article?
Final takeaways from the article, like you said, fans can read it, get some insight on what has been going on throughout the season. But at the end of the day, it's left to you all to make your own assumptions. My assumption personally, and I believe Jeff's as well, as we both said, we came away with it feeling, you know, that the Spurs and Kawhi right now are about 50-50, which is a lot better than what we thought previously. So the rest of that, we leave that up to you, the viewer, the reader, and we actually want you guys to engage with us. Share your thoughts and, you know, tweet us, get to us on Twitter, you know, tweet us something. Let us know what you're thinking. Send us some feedback.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a huge, and it's going to continue to be a huge issue until that day comes. And you know, when that day comes, when the Spurs offer him the max or they don't, then that's when all of this will be put to rest. Yeah, I think, in my opinion, the Spurs and or Kawhi's side should still say something, still address this. Because look, if the Spurs have a reputation and are known for keeping things in house, why are they very okay with these articles coming out? Look how fast LaMarcus Aldridge spoke out when rumblings were about him wanting to leave San Antonio last year. He came out very quick once articles and the report came out, and he spoke on a national radio show to calm the flames. Granted, it did come out down the road that it was true, but nonetheless, at least there was that effort from LaMarcus. Now, I get it. Kawhi is different. He's quieter. He's mega quiet. I think the article touched on just how quiet he is. But if he has all these people acting and thinking and helping him out on his behalf, they can do the exact same thing. His sister's very vocal on Instagram or running his official Instagram page. She could say something. If his uncle, you know, is the dominant type that the article painted him out to be, he can say something. But still, everybody's remaining quiet right now. I think this is a chess match, Joe. I think the Spurs don't want to be the first one to blink, and the Kawhi side doesn't want to be the first one to blink.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. But it was up to me. Nah, man, I roll with an iron fist. I never blink.
Yeah, well, that can also get you in trouble. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, but I'm just different. I'm cut from a different cloth, man. I mean, I don't ever tell nobody to do something unless I know how to do it, and I'll do the work with you. I won't tell you what to do. I'll be right there with you doing the job, you know? So, you know, I think that's the thing with Kawhi and the Spurs right now, you know, that they can't be there with him rehabbing. And I think that's where you have your division, you know, because you have the team doctors. You can control that. But when it's out of your hands and you have somebody else involved, I think that's where feelings get hurt, you know?
Yeah, this is a very sticky situation for the Spurs. I hope, and Kawhi, and I hope they do come to meeting of the minds, and they're able to put pen to paper, and Kawhi inks a deal, and then we can look back and just laugh at everything that what we said on the show, and whether it be on reports left and right. But you know, you talked about how you're feeling right now, Joe. As far as me, I'm personally on the side of this is not going to end well now. I think in the sense of they're going to try to mend fencing, but the article is correct about how even some of Kawhi's camp is saying that they don't like how the Spurs are paying him right now. And you read it, Joe, there's a black guy right there. They don't like how they're paying him, how they're representing him, how they're making him look like to be the bad guy right now. You also toss in about Tony and Manu's comments during the regular season that they don't like the fact that he's not around as much. He's not very, you know, with the team, so to speak. I think there's too much to mend right now, not only from the pop to the Kawhi side, but then you got the RC, Buford, and Kawhi's camp side. You have the organization as a whole, you know, what I'm pretty sure the Spurs are asking right now, their staff, who's leaking out all this stuff right now? Who's doing this stuff? Who's adding more fuel to the fire? And also, you got the players, too. You know, Manu Ginobili was very vocal, and I was shocked that a lot of people harped on Tony Parker's comment about his injury being 100 times worse, and fine, but it didn't get the enough attention that Manu Ginobili's comment that when he was pretty much saying, where is this guy? We see him as much as y'all do. You know, he's absent. It sucks that he's not around. I think Kawhi has to also do mending offenses with the Spurs organization, the franchise ownership, and the team. And I think he has to go to war with these guys, and he has to get on the court with these guys. He has to share the ball with these guys. There's just so many tentacles in this mess that I just think that I can see Kawhi and be like, you know what? This is too much. I need a fresh start, and go off and demand a trade. Joe?
Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm a man. I'm a grown man. Kawhi's a grown man. You're a grown man. If you got problems with somebody, you know, at your place of employment, somebody's talking about you or saying something, I'd have the guts to go up to them face to face, look them in the eye and say, I'm not here to fight you, but I'm here to talk it out. You know, if I have something to say to clear my name, you best believe that I'll come out and say it. You know, and by saying nothing, that says a lot. You know, that's my opinion on that whole thing. Yeah, you're quiet all the time. Sure, you can be quiet, but you're a grown man. And you know that staying quiet is ruining your reputation, but you don't want to come out and say anything. I think that hurts the reputation even more moving forward. You know, so if he wants to mend things, you know, his people who represent him, like you said, need to come out and talk. Somebody needs to say something. And if they don't say it, you know, before, you know, you start really getting into the nitty gritty into the off season, it's already getting near July and you still haven't heard anything. I just think that just hurts the relationship even more. So I look forward to hearing what Kawhi has to say at some point in time.
Yeah, and hopefully he says something soon because, Joe, I swear, it's like every day there's something new. Every day, what is the newest twist? What is the latest thing? I mean, there's also a report out of I think it's NipsDaily.com, or forgive me if I'm getting it wrong, where this other NBA reporter is now reporting that NBA execs are expecting Kawhi trade to go down soon. I mean, wow. I mean, it's just so much, and I think it can be nipped at the bud so fast if somebody just says something. But I think this is just a chess. I mean, look, if Pops is dealing with this situation right now, I get it. R.C. Buford, I think he should be front and center. Why haven't we heard from him? Everybody says, where's Pop? Where's Kawhi? Where's Buford in all this? Why isn't he getting, you know, raked over the coals about this? Why isn't he being asked, okay, you are the general manager, what is the management side of this situation? We heard from the coaching side of it. Bob, what about the management side of it, RC? So it's just a mess, Joe. This is just the biggest mess right now, and I just want this to be over with already.
I think everyone does.
If they're going to trade him, fine, just do it. Just do it like a Band-Aid, fast, and get it over with. But if they're going to start repairing the relationship, it needs to be done now. I'm talking about now, and then fix something. And come to a meeting of the minds down the road, Joe?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, whatever's going to happen has to be done, you know, relatively quickly. You don't want to, I think the longer that you let people sit on things, you know, even though both sides are mad, the longer you stay mad, the worse it gets. It's better just to say, you know what, let's have a meeting, let's talk, let's air it out, let's get in each other's faces. You want to yell, scream, whatever you want to do, do it right there in the privacy of the office away from the media's eyes. And then at the end, when the smoke clears, hopefully you're shaking hands and you part ways as friends, you know, and you can make things work out. If not, it's time to move on, you know. So I'm hoping that when the smoke clears, you'll see that everything's happy in Spurs land, in Spurs Nation, should I say.
And that's whether with new set of teammates because of the trade or with Kawhi. I think that needs to be very clear from the get-go. If they're going to proceed together, then I think the next step would have to be for Kawhi to fix whatever damage there may be with him and his teammates.
Yeah.
But if it's a new set of players, and then, got to cross that road when we get there. So definitely, definitely, definitely interesting times here in the Alamo City. So much frustration, accusations of misdiagnosis, trade possibilities. It's enough to make your head spin. It really, really is. And I'm not used to this, Joe. I don't think any Spurs fans are used to this type of drama. When was the last time you heard drama on this magnitude?
Yeah.
So, seriously, I can't think of anything. Maybe Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, that's what I'm about
Maybe
to
the
say.
Dennis Rodman era.
Yeah. I remember the Dennis Rodman era. I mean, he did things that really upset people, but it was more, you know, what he was doing, not who he was doing it to, you know, just him just being Dennis, you know. And in this juncture, you have, it's not so much Kawhi being Kawhi because he is staying quiet. It's just now it's the silence that's killing us. You know, you were mad at Dennis because he spoke too much. Now you're mad at Kawhi because he doesn't say nothing. So it's like, mm-hmm. you just can't please everyone at the end of the day. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's definitely weird times in the Alamo City. But Joe and I, we're done talking. We want to hear what you have to say. You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at JeffGSpursZone. Joe?
Yeah, you can reach us at Two Shots Podcast, which is all spelled out, TWOSHOTS Podcast, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can also check us out on the World Wide Web at TwoShotsSA.com.
Yeah, definitely go check out Two Shots. I'm pretty sure Joe is going to have his take on this Kawhi Spurs myth. So definitely go out to Two Shots Podcast. But for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.